The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. Right now we're having technical difficulties, so...
Mark, you got your wires crossed.
Yes, I actually do. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Sinertia.
Charlie Sinertia. Hey, Charlie.
Close enough. Thank you.
And I have Herman Sinertia
sitting Herman Saladino.
Yes, Herman Saladino sitting across from us. Say hi, Herman.
Okay.
Say hi.
How you doing?
There you go.
And, I said hello to you today.
Yeah, but you didn't say hello to our radio audience that's listening, because they weren't here before.
That's how it works. I got it now.
Yes. Don't poke the bear. Hassan Godwin is coming back with us shortly. He's actually in transit from getting clean underwear.
He found the footage to Avatar, the forgotten footage that they're going to release for Friday.
Yes, that is true. From the desk of Herman Sinertia, before we get to the news and the other introductions, I will mention that from the desk of Herman Sinertia, they are going to have a special edition Avatar.
The long sex
in 3D.
Scene.
I have a request.
Yes, what is the request?
Could you plug my earphones in, please? Because I can't hear a damn thing. Thank you.
Don't curse.
So as much like Charlie, if you're having trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and can listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also, you can go to... I can't get this out. Awesome. Can pull that out. Also, you can go...
Story of my life. I can't...
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
He'll be here while we try to veal.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, hey.
There we go. Now we're done with the technical difficulties.
Studio, yes.
So, if you missed, you can't hear us on the air, you can go online, www.am1240wgbb.com, and listen to us on live audio streaming. You can also see the crazy antics that we're dealing with right now with our technical difficulties on the webcam at the www.am1240wgbb side, and you can see us on the webcam right there. And we actually have visitors in the studio who are also very high. There you go. And the number here is area code 631-888-8811. Let me just take it away with the news. Let's see. Sylvester Stallone tops the box office again for a second week in a row to bring his total for the Expendables at $65 million.
That's great.
It was a decent movie. You guys
I'm
seeing it this week.
It was a great throwback to an 80s movie, classic action with a couple 80s and 90s stars. It was real worth it, and is his highest grossing movie of all time for Sylvester Stallone. So I think he deserves it.
Good.
One of my favorite action actors are in it.
Which one would that be?
That would be Jet Li.
Oh, you're a Jet Li fan?
Oh my God, this guy is incredible.
Especially was good in the Mummy. Part 3, yeah. All he did was growl at people.
Didn't he turn into a dragon or something in that movie?
Ghidra. He turned into...
He turned into Ghidra?
Yeah, Three-Headed Monster.
And then Godzilla showed up and...
We were waiting for Godzilla.
Okay. Second place went to a surprise hit, which was the movie Vampire Sucks. It came in making an estimated $12 million, which is surprising everybody, because everybody thought that movie was just going to blow chunks 8 Ways to Sunday. And another surprise is that Piranha 3D was considered a flop, opening at number 6, only making $10 million. And if you guys are watching on the webcam, you can see Hassan Godwin walking in gingerly to his seat, waving hi to the audience, and getting a headset, which may or may not work. Say hi, Hassan.
Someone took my swivel chair.
Yes.
someone's taken my swivel chair.
Actually, it's kind of funny. If you look on the webcam, you can see how short Hassan looks right now on the compared to everybody else, and he's a very tall man.
Radio, not TV. So
well,
they don't need to.
Well, webcam, you can see us.
Probably doesn't work.
So what are your opinion on the movies that I just mentioned?
Oh, I think they're all great.
All right, moving along.
Look at this.
Look, don't pull that. There we go.
Like
January Jones, who is in the TV show Mad Men, has just been added to the cast of the new X-Men movie. She will be playing Emma Frost. Also joining the cast is Zoe Kravitz, daughter of Lenny Kravitz. Zoe.
I wish I knew who they were.
You don't know Lenny Kravitz?
I know who Lenny Kravitz is. I don't know who Zoe Kravitz is.
All right, well, you're a musician, guys. You guys know?
Yeah.
I'm a musician, too. Yeah. She's not. Is she a musician?
Yes. Well, she's an actress.
Why would I know anything about that? Move on.
Well,
news is moving too slow.
She's going to be cast as she's going to be cast as Angel Salvador, a relatively new character who debuted in the 2001. And
do you mean debuted?
Yeah, debuted. That's how it says it. It was extra easy.
Okay,
you make
excellent.
Fun of me, huh?
I make fun of everybody.
I know.
Kevin Bacon has been also cast as the film's main villain. And rumors persist that he will be in the role of Sebastian Shaw, leader of the Hellfire Club.
The really angry guys.
Yes.
Leader of the bad guys.
Yeah, that's basically...
Quote, unquote.
The bad guys.
Yeah.
That's the group. Who are you? We're the bad guys.
The compadres negative.
So speaking of X-Men, the new movie.
Mr. Segway.
Well,
X-Men, the new.
Thank you, X-Men Edition.
I just do the harmonious part, man. Now you want me to do editorials on top of it. That's not good.
Producer Bryan Singer recently revealed some notable details about the movie, X-Men First Class, including the fact that it will be set in the 1960s. He says that the movie will show Charles Xavier meeting Magneto as young men in their late 20s.
I was looking at that.
The story will show Professor X and Magneto when they were still friends and how they assembled the first team of X-Men.
Blah, blah, blah.
Professor X will have hair, he'll be able to walk, and he indicated that he will show how he got into the wheelchair. So basically, they're just taking the story apart, and they're starting from way back when.
No one understands the negative connotation of X-Men First Class, because if you make the applicable trilogy, X-Men, who's going to go see X-Men Third Class? X-Men Ground. X-Men 2-Day.
X-Men 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly. X-Men Coach. You know, it's a bad idea.
Coach. It's really clever. See, it's first class because they're like freshmen. They're the first ones in the class, you know?
Yeah.
So that's exactly how it works. It's going to be perfect. So,
wait, as we progress onward, we're going to get to third class.
You know, we'll fall off that bridge when we come to it.
Maybe it'll be X-Men First Class Part 2, and you're still using the first class.
That's something else, which I can't say on air.
Oh, okay.
But it's very negative.
Alrighty then.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
Speaking of First Class and X-Men the movie.
Mr. Segway.
And X-Men the movie. Speaking of First Class, I don't know what I'm doing here. Just start reading.
Cyclops, Storm, Jean Grey, and all the other X-Men from the previous movies except for Beast will not appear in this movie.
Oh. So
I'm not going.
So it's going to be bad, in other words.
So it's Highlander 2 again.
It's a confirmation.
Well, Highlander 2 had Sean Connery and the guy in it.
Yeah, but they were aliens. They don't count.
Yeah, that's right.
At least they were there, though. But in this
one, does not count.
There's going to be no original cast members or cast characters in there except for Magneto and Professor Xavier.
Highlander 2 is like Superman 3 and 4.
Oh. What was that cellophane S that he threw?
Highlander 2 is just waiting to be erased from history.
And Superman 2, that cellophane S he threw at the bad guy, what was that cellophane?
It was a secret thing that he had on his uniform that his mom sewed. You don't know that?
Yeah, a secret cellophane.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have that in my house.
Super saran wrap.
Yeah. And super saran.
It's either super saran wrap or secret cellophane. It's one or the other. It's an S.
No matter what. Down the guy.
Did you ever try to get saran wrap unwrinkled?
Yeah, it doesn't work. Only Superman can do it.
Yeah, and
that's why it's super cellophane.
Got him into the little thing, you know? That's how it works.
And then it just fades away once you knock the guy down, so it's completely useless.
It's biodegradable.
It's practically inapplicable.
I like the Richard Donner. The Richard Donner's cut.
Jeffrey Dahmer's cut?
No. Richard Donner.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer
kills everybody.
All right. I'm glad I showed up. I'm sure they are too.
Yeah, you made the night. That sounds good.
Speaking of Superman.
Segway.
Superman edition.
Thank you. Lionel Luthor will be returning to Smallville this November.
Woohoo!
For at least two episodes in the 10th and final season. They finally announced it, final season of Smallville.
10 years.
How much?
Who would have thought that would have gone the distance?
How much can we milk it?
They milked it for two extra years because he was supposed to be 4 years in high school, 4 years in college, and that was it.
Is he flying?
Yeah, he is not.
He's still 10 years and he isn't flying.
He quote-unquote flew, but it really wasn't him flying, so Superman has not flown officially.
What's the big secret?
The show.
You know, they said
secret? The character's like 80,000 years old.
I like the point that they came up with Superman Returns, why he couldn't be Superman. Is because that would effectively end the show. And since at the time, they had about 6 or 7, 10 or 15 more seasons to go since Superman Returned, that would have effectively ruined a big cash cow for the WB network.
My big question in the whole Superman deal is why that guy made him wash dishes.
Oh yeah,
he's referring to the comic book where Superman.
Because if you can make Superman do your dishes, wouldn't you? I would do it. Superman, these dishes ain't gonna do themselves. You know what I'm saying?
This guy needed to fight with Superman because he was the only guy who had guts enough to say, "Hey, do my dishes."
Yeah, but
maybe he offered to do the dishes because he's Superman.
It's the audaciousness of it. Since he insisted that Superman do it.
I want to rewrite Superman movie.
Right. Since he insisted that Superman do it, then Superman did it because of the audaciousness. If he took a swing at Superman, it would have been a different story.
Yeah. Listen to my idea, Mark. This is a great idea I have.
It's not going to be a great idea.
What?
I'm not the only person
it's
here.
It's not going to be a great idea.
Listen to you. It's not going to be a great idea. It's going to be cold.
Plus, you're interrupting the news.
I don't care. It's called Super Race. And Krypton is blowing up, right?
Right. No,
they don't send only one person to Earth, right?
Okay.
They send like maybe 2,000 people from Krypton.
A school bus.
So it's a race for them to get here?
No. It's a race. Super race. Their race. You know what I mean?
It's like a race of people.
Oh, not like a race like Death Race. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
and they take over planet Earth because there's some evil guys.
It's a super race.
Isn't that a great story?
It's like the eugenics war from Star Trek.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. we got to stick to the pattern. You know, one guy.
Hassan, do you...
What,
you want to, yes.
As long as they're black, I don't... That's
you got it.
Great.
Or Italian.
They'll be black Italian.
Or Sicilian. That's close enough.
Yeah, Sicilian. That's a compromise.
There you go. So, returning to my Superman news, because I never left
it. We say Spanish, eh?
Now that we've become political.
Beyond Lionel Luthor, who'll be returning.
We need their cards.
They will also have Supergirl, Brainiac, Hawkman will be coming back for the final season, and they will also top it off with the return of John Schneider as Pa Kent in the final season.
Wow. Wow. You know what? I haven't seen one episode of that show in the 10 years that it's been on.
I've seen...
What show?
One. Exactly.
I've seen one episode or two. And
I saw two episodes. I saw a part of two episodes. So maybe together, putting them together, that makes one.
Wise,
yeah,
at least 16. 20,
when I realized it was like X-Files, it was like the monster of the week, I lost interest almost instantly.
You've seen that a couple of times, right? In Smallville?
Yes,
what do you think?
I watch
it with you. I don't watch it. What do you think?
I think Lois Lane's beautiful.
All right.
Sorry.
Charlie, have you seen any Smallville?
No.
Charles, tell Mark and Hassan.
Tell us all about the story.
Tell Mark and Hassan about the time we went to the Star Trek convention. We're in the elevator.
And everybody
we're in the elevator.
Radio Land.
And the Klingons get in, right? They go, Klingon, what'd you say?
I'm Sicilian, I'm Italian.
We went to
tell us about that story.
Tell the audience.
Mark,
don't ruin it. Come on, you can ruin like a surprise party. You can ruin a bachelor party.
Holy goodness.
We've said this story like eight times already.
Somebody hear it again.
The story was told.
It really should stop. That's all I'm saying. It's just...
Yeah.
When?
It's not.
We told it.
On the air?
Yeah.
Yes,
we did this already. That's why we all know the story. Herman.
See?
I can't. So I did it. I did it. I heard you on the, in the car, too, and you did it. And you did it worse than I did.
Yes, yes, I did. At least you didn't call him Hassan, because that would have been worse.
Yeah, wow. Then I would have just got up and went home. That would have been it for
them. So, yes, the listeners who have missed it the 18 other times that we've said the story. Charlie, why don't you tell us the story when you were in the
elevator? I think we should leave the audience hanging.
Wait, our guest didn't hear the story.
Make them listen to the archives.
So, to do this really, really quick, I was in the elevator at a Star Trek convention, and we were all in the elevator.
All of us.
And, yeah, all of us.
Even Tom.
Yes, Tom was there. My
Carol,
father,
me,
my mother,
and you.
They were there. So we were in the elevator, and everybody was dressed except us because we were too cool for that. And we came, this guy comes in, and he looks at me, and I'm in everyday plain Ozone Park attire, and he goes, "Tricky." And I just looked at him, and went, "No, Sicilian," and we went from there.
And the crowd went wild.
Wild, yes.
Fuck, I think the Italians,
not
are,
after the
I 20th the
time.
Are attacking us.
Wasn't that worth the wait there?
Yes. That's why.
Yeah, well, Charlie, you just lost the spark of the story. Forget about it.
Well, after you tell the same story 20 times, the spark is lost.
He said Trekkies. He said, no, Italians.
Here's.
Wait a minute.
That's what you said.
Wait a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you just tell him to tell the story? And that's the story. Yes, so you can't change it.
That was his story as far as he's concerned. Plus, if you tell half the story, telling him to tell the story, and then he has to backtrack and tell the same half that you told, it's not funny anymore.
When you go home and see Carol, ask her what I said. I said Sicilian.
Hey, Herman, why don't you tell us about the time that we came to the radio show and,
and we did the show?
How come
you look like Mickey Mouse, like evil Mickey Mouse with those headphones? Look like evil Mickey Mouse.
He's trying
radio,
to
radio, not
back.
Television. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Except for the people on the webcam.
They're seeing you from the side. It's profile. They can't tell you're Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, that's right. Well, because Mickey Mouse ears would actually be always circle ways.
Mickey Mouse did not have a... That was evil Mickey Mouse had a goatee.
No matter which way you do Mickey Mouse, the ears always have to be...
Yes.
Right. Circles. That's I think that's like a law in Mickey Mouse world.
Well, you wouldn't recognize him if he was.
All right,
just
get off the Mickey Mouse thing.
You're the one that brought us on the Mickey Mouse thing. Yeah. I think we're ready for a commercial break.
I hope so.
Commercial break.
I'm ready.
That'd be a good song.
If it came from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. We'll be right back. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio. It's your host, Mark Troy, speaking along with Hassan Godwin,
Hassan,
Saladino,
Charlie.
And
Hermes. Hermes.
Hello.
All right, we're just going to be moving
along
here.
You guys are giggling
here.
Like a pack of catlets.
Oh, yeah,
girls.
Yes, you weren't doing it.
Yes,
yeah,
we. All right.
Herman was sitting off on the side.
Herman, you noticed my plaid dress, didn't you?
My God. Charlie, do you have a question of the week?
Yes, I do, Mark.
The question of the week.
The question that Gareth follows.
Question of the week.
Super hit one. The question of the week comes from our faithful listeners, Doug and Jeannie Booth.
Hello, Doug and Jeannie Booth.
Who are they? I know
that.
They're my friends.
Yes.
Oh,
anyway.
You kids, you're giving it away.
Anyway.
It's a fix now. The question of the week is a fix.
No, actually, it's not a fix because...
Everybody's my friend.
It's... Yeah. No, they're not.
Or the exact opposite.
Right, he says that in a creepy way. Everybody's my friend.
I like people.
It's like the kind of guy they talk to you about at school.
Yeah.
You hear this guy, stay away from him.
It's a picture of beware of...
Come here, kiddies. Everyone's my friend.
Beware of strange man.
Was that the question?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why is Herman so strange?
Yes. No. There is no answer for that. The question of the week was, why do we need another Exorcist movie?
Because they still haven't gotten it out of the girl yet.
Yeah. I happen to agree with this question because I've had it. I've had it with these.
Had an Exorcist?
It's done.
You
it's,
see that girl? See that girl? Way she's twisting all that.
I did have one.
That was like on my honeymoon. My wife was doing that twist on.
You possessed her on honeymoon?
No, you know that trailer they showed where she's like sitting on top of the refrigerator. Now, would you go into a house seeing a girl sitting on top of a refrigerator?
Yes. No. Maybe it's a horror movie. What is he supposed to do?
It's kind of a quote from Splash. But just keep moving.
He's
making a slight reference to Splash, but keep
I had it with the Exorcist movies, but I realized when I said that it is a personal thing because there's thousands of kids who still want to get scared out.
Charlie
there.
Charlie says, "Leave the demon in the girl."
Yes.
No, but
let the demon lie.
Kids today, they laugh at the Exorcist.
Let Satan win.
In 1973.
That's what Charlie
says. No, kids today laugh
for the bad guy.
Kids, they laugh at The Exorcist today when they watch The Exorcist.
Well, there were three Exorcist movies, correct?
Right.
There was which the second one technically doesn't count because the third one supposedly canceled the second one out.
Right.
And then there was The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which is another big one.
And there
that was a creepy movie.
Yeah.
And now there's the new one, the Last Exorcist.
Yeah, the Last Exorcist. But like I said, I realized that. There is like kids out there because you talk to kids. They, oh my God, ghosts! They love the whole concept of the spirit world and getting scared. And so I really lost track
I'm
with
going
reality.
To
I really lost. Good Herman, I'm glad you do that. I really lost track with reality, and I forgot what it was like to be young. But this is a whole new generation going to be scared. So. I guess this is more or less for that audience.
How good can this be? Eli Roth directed it.
I'm going
to
say...
Eli Roth he has to go back to school, learn how to film films.
What kind of school does he have to go back
to? I don't know.
He's good
just
at beating
any
guy.
Kind of school. He can go to any school.
He's just going through the motions. Yeah, he's no good, that guy. That guy has
no
talent.
That guy's no good.
He's no good. He don't show me anything with Saw and...
He's only done, two movies?
What did he do?
He did Hostel and Hostel Part 2.
Oh, yeah, Hostel's real good.
And he's been in a bunch of Tarantino movies.
Well, they've made some money, those Hostel movies, so...
That's what makes a good movie when it makes money?
No, but that's why he has a job.
People are bored.
That's why he has a job. He has a job because his movies are making money. That's why he is doing it.
No, because
it
Hassan,
matter if it's good or not.
No,
it matters
I have
money.
To give Hassan credit because there's a lot of stupid people out there.
Oh, man. I get credit for saying that everybody's stupid. I don't want it more than that.
It's the universal credit for insulting everybody.
Exactly.
Hassan's right. Well,
yeah.
Done.
No, Eli Roth don't show me anything. Roger Corman's better than him.
He beats Nazis to death really good, though. I like that.
Well, it's what I'm saying here.
Nothing wrong with beating a Nazi to death.
Yeah, that was good.
Maybe for you, anybody else that's our age or whatever, yeah, maybe he's no good because he's doing something that's been done 1,000 times. But for the younger people who are seeing it for the first time, maybe that's where he's making his money.
Oh, God.
That's the new trilogy argument. That's a Star Wars trilogy argument. It's not for us, for the younger kids. And we don't count. So there's a lot of merit to that because those movies made $1 billion.
You can't judge movies with the money.
There's a lot of movies out there that doesn't make money and they're great movies.
Of course.
But we're not saying that. You asked, why does Eli Roth continue to make movies?
Why does he?
Because the two movies that he made
Hostile
money.
Hostile 2 was good. Yeah, you're right. It was a
masterpiece. I'm not saying they were
same
good.
Kicking the head around.
When did I say they were good? I said the reason why he has a job is because his previous work brought in money.
The reason why he has a job is because he knows somebody.
Because if the movies didn't make any money...
I know a bunch of people.
No.
Everybody knows somebody.
He's in the clique.
I know you.
He's in the clique.
And everybody's from his friend. If
you guys got to wake up.
Yeah, how come you guys got to work?
You guys have to really wake up. There's a clique in Hollywood.
Wait, but there's no waking up involved. Hollywood is a business, and if you make money...
It's cliquish.
If you make money on something, then they're going to have you make more stuff. Why do you think Cameron is going to be able to make any type of movie he wants? Because he made the highest grossing movie of all time. If you make something that makes money, they're going to get more jobs. If you make something that makes money, you're going to make more jobs. That's the only problem.
Passion of the Christ made a lot of money, but he's ain't no click. What's his name? Mel Gibson.
Wait a minute. There's no sequel to that. It ends.
No, they're doing a sequel.
That was a problem.
They're doing a sequel. Resurrection of Christ. I saw it.
You swear to God?
I almost said swear to God.
Wow.
Get him off the air. This is God. Get him off the air.
You walked right into that one.
The angels are holding their ears. Get him off the air.
That was so smooth, I almost missed it. I was like, what is everyone laughing about? A bunch of idiots. I work with idiots.
Anyway, the fact is, it's a business.
Like Spaceballs.
Making money. That's your name? Yes, that's
it makes money. Like the same reason why Michael Bay is still making movies.
It's making money.
He makes a billion dollars, and you know I can't really
look. We have
I can't expect
here.
Him to,
am I right
to see
or
him
wrong?
On the unemployment
I can't
line.
Short while you're here. Am I right or wrong?
We're having a radio show. You have to talk into the mic.
Bad movies making money. Am I right or wrong? I'm asking my two guests here.
They're nodding in a.
Tell people that they're nodding. Yes,
some bad movies make money. Some bad movies don't.
Like
there's some good
shark
movies
versus
that don't make
giant
any money.
Octopus. There you go.
I saw that.
All right.
I'm no longer contributing to this madness.
Get off the subject.
Yes, we're going to get off the subject. Thank you for the question of the week, which turned into an interesting.
Wow, that was scary.
Hopefully, we answered your question.
That was just that snowball that went down the hill and ended by wrecking the chalet.
No, the reason why they're doing another exorcism movie because they're trying to reimagine and have it look like a Blair Witch type exorcism in the woods.
Yeah, Blair Witch is really still hot, man. That's the hip stuff.
No, it's not hot. I'm just saying that they want to make it realistic now, like the fourth kind. The Exorcist was like glitz. It was like Hollywood, you know, when it came out in 1973.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose was pretty...
Yeah, that was scary.
Was
when I showed that film, I heard the woman scream like in the film. I had the monitor
that's
up.
That's why she got the job.
I went downstairs and just... Stay downstairs in the
lobby.
That's
why I can't watch Dexter because she's on that show. I keep waiting for her to flip out and bend over backwards and count.
No, but I'm saying that they're trying to try a new way of doing an exorcism move. You know, in the forest, a little cottage.
What the hell are you saying?
I'm trying to give him some rope here, but he just keeps on strangling himself.
I'm not strangling myself. They're trying a new way of doing an exorcist movie.
Okay, you know? And that's it. Stop right there.
Like a reality show. Don't hang yourself
with the rope. Just this is why the end. Stop.
All right, tell Doug that. What's his name?
Doug and Jeannie.
Your friends, you don't even remember the name.
They're not friends. He's not their friends.
Hey, everybody's
He's
my
everybody.
Friend.
Everybody's. I'm sorry.
How come you're not working in Hollywood? You got friends. It's
I don't
clicks,
have,
right?
I don't
you
have
got
a click.
Click.
He don't have the right clique.
Yeah, everyone's friends. your friends, one of your friends has got to be in a clique.
He's friends with Pauly Shore.
Tell him to get you in.
My brother.
Tell him to grandfather
wait,
you in.
Wait, no, he's friends with Pauly Shore and
Pauly Shore, and the guy
who played the extra in Star Wars. those guys aren't getting any jobs.
and I'm friends with all the extras in the Godzilla movie.
Wait a minute. He was
in Autograph Row in the Wizard Conventions. Those are all his friends.
He was Christopher Lee's bodyguard.
Oh,
I was.
Were you really?
Yes.
Did you protect him?
No.
No one took a shot at Christopher Lee, that's why.
Yeah, he did his job.
I wouldn't take a swing at Christopher Lee. he'd snatch the life right out of him.
No one took a shot at him on his tour.
Okay, yes, I guess.
How's your hand?
Sure. Yeah. All right, sure.
All right, next.
So, yes, thank you for that wonderful segue. Moving along, we're going to be talking about music this week, because last week we were talking about expectations and Herman brought up music. And he actually said something to me that was very profound, so I'm giving you credit here.
Thanks, Paul.
You were saying how if you watch a movie, so the sound is very important. If you take the sound out, the score, if you take the music and score out of a movie,
it drives the film.
It hurts it. But my argument is that music is an integral part of the whole thing, and if you don't have the visuals to go along with the music, it's just as equally unenjoyable.
No. Music is strong in film.
So that's what I want to know what you guys think about the music role, the role of music in a movie.
Perfect analysis. The sound era. They had a piano player playing to the screen. They didn't have no piano player. The villain's got the girl.
In the movie, there's not watching a movie, they're just watching some schmuck playing a piano, it's not going to be entertaining.
Thanks a lot. I
played
piano.
You played a piano in the silent movies? How old are you?
You're a schmuck.
No, you said the guy playing the piano in the silent movies. Is that was that your day job?
No, the guy was playing in the movie theater, looking at the silent film, not in the silent.
That's the guy. So if there was no screen on the movie and he was just playing the piano, he's going to look like a schmuck just playing the piano with no film.
I look like that every weekend. There's no screen.
I would like to say one thing. When I started on this show in December, Mark was calm.
he reminds me of Kermit during those episodes where it was like really difficult to run the Muppet Show.
He was like sitting next to a tablet of Valium.
Quaaludes.
Yeah. Great Tom wants to say something.
Great Tom of Oz.
I just wanted to say something about piano players during the silent film period. Believe it or not, most of the time they worked without printed scores because it was in the darkness like that. And they just played off the top of their head, again, according to what was on the screen. And at one time it was considered a real art form, which, alas, these days is pretty much lost. I actually heard one of the original piano players for the silent ones going, and it was a lady, and she was remarkable, just remarkable. What she was doing, she was married to a college professor who gave lectures every Halloween, and she'd play along to a slideshow. And again, with no score, nothing, just would go along with whatever the conversation was being or whatever was on the screen, just right off the top of her head.
That's what they still do that today. John Williams does that.
See, thank you, Tom, for bringing back to some reality here.
John Williams does that with the orchestra. He watches the screen. I mean, he has it scored out, but he still has to watch the screen. And the musicians do watch the screen when they, you know, just take the music away from Star Wars, especially the scene when Luke Skywalker looks at the two suns, right? Now, I lowered the sound to silent. It doesn't do anything for me.
That's true, but it also has to be the right kind of music, because if some guy came out with, like, a harpsichord, it wouldn't sound good. Right.
Yeah. And Jaws. Take
Jaws. Some guy with a recorder.
The triangle.
Take Jaws. Those two notes get your emotions. That's why you say movies move your emotions.
But
no, the music helps the movie.
It helps. But
if
you do not see the imagery going along with the music, it still has the same effect.
Right, but that music also, you have to see, and you can see darkness on a film. You hear that music revving up, the drones, it's getting you going.
Only because you're familiar with it.
But it's still setting you up.
It's associated with the visuals. The music is associated with
the
visuals.
Music is stronger than film. Music has to be in film.
But Mark is saying it is associated with the visual.
Right.
So but that's what makes the visual stronger.
Without music, you're not going to have a good film. Without music. Look at Psycho. Take out the violins of Psycho. That knife never hits her.
Calm
with the violins. Make you think the knife is stabbing her.
Now, I'm going to say this and tell you that I agree with you with the music. But I'm also going to say, just as the music, if you have bad editing, so it's all these little things that make the movie great, especially the music.
Charlie.
But if you have bad editing,
Charlie,
I don't care what music you have, the music
yeah,
is...
Yeah, you're right, but so I'm going to put a cap on this right now, okay?
All right. Put a cap on
you
it.
You can't
like
put
the
a cap on it. We still got more show.
You're going to watch Star Wars.
The show's not over.
Thanks for coming. Fight a veal.
No, on this segment. I want you to watch,
this is the whole segment.
I want you to watch Star Wars with no sound. The whole feature. The two-hour feature. All right? You're not going to enjoy it as much as the sound with the music revving up. But you can listen to the soundtrack of Star Wars in your car and enjoy it in visual.
Very easy. What is this? What is the point, though?
I don't know. Mark brought it up.
Thanks. No, but what I'm trying to say is that Herman was saying how important the music was, and I'm saying that the music
drives every movie,
of the entire thing that is a film, not just that the music, because of it, is so important. Because just like you said, if you watch a movie without the sound, you get a different feel for it. If you watch a movie without the visuals, you're going to get a different feel for it.
But you can listen to a soundtrack on a CD and get a feel for the movie.
But
then you never saw the movie.
All right, that's a very different
thing.
It can
happen. That can happen. If it's orchestral, especially.
Right. I didn't see Star Wars. I bought the soundtrack first. And
Tom wants to speak again. The great Tom speaks.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I just wanted to say that the opposite also applies. There have been films that were essentially ruined by having bad soundtracks. A spectacular example of that was a serious film that was made back in the early 60s called Town Without Pity, which was about a rape and had this terrible soundtrack that went to it. It made it sound like it was some sort of a teen angst thing, which apparently it was not. Also, you had a very, very abstract movie called Mondokani.
Yeah, a beautiful song came from it.
Right. More. Right. Probably the song most played at all weddings of the 1960s and early 70s.
Right.
But it was a great soundtrack, but the movie was so weird that it didn't go anywhere. It didn't lift it. So... Yeah, all the elements have to work
together.
George
Lucas wanted to put synthesizer music in Star Wars, and John Williams says, do not put synthesized music. I'll write a score, make it like a 2001 feel, but I'll write its own score so it stays forever. It stands the test of time.
Well, even...
You know what I'm right about.
Again, we're all agreeing with you, but even the thing that stands out, a movie that stands out with me was Jurassic Park, when they're going to the island.
Yeah,
and
the violins.
The helicopters with those musical
and
score.
Music build.
Yeah.
Well, music is
very
extremely
important,
but I don't know if it's the most... When you get into the argument of, is it the most important thing?
No.
It's another element that
it
makes
drives
it, that
the
makes the experience larger.
Exactly.
But it's not the most important thing.
Exactly. It's an element. It's an element, like editing's an element.
All right.
Like... Directing.
Let me tell you
a
short story. In the sixth grade, I was in sixth grade. And years ago...
In the sixth grade, you were in the sixth grade? That
was
the story.
Was
the end.
Grade.
What are you... Stop doing that to him. You know what you're going to do.
So
just let him go.
And he lost it. Did you graduate?
Yeah, I graduated.
Okay.
And
was that the
NYU
end of the story?
Too. You want to hear about that one? 2 years, NYU.
Is that
yeah.
the sequel?
Holy God.
Is that in 3D?
We used to have 8mm. Listen to me. We used to have 8mm films.
Okay, 8mm films.
8mm films before VHS tape, right? Home movies, professional movies.
Those things are hard to stack.
Minutes.
Okay.
So I experimented with the class. I said, I'm going to bring in Frankenstein, the movie Frankenstein, right? Boris Karloff.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it silent. They liked it. I said, now next week I'm going to bring the same film with a soundtrack.
Who was your teacher? They just let you bring a movie in.
The same movie twice.
No, it was a drama class, right? Okay, I was ahead of my time when I was in the sixth grade, right? So I brought in the same film, Frankenstein, okay?
Which is why you're behind.
And I put Edgar Winter's Dean Frankenstein, the song, to the film. They loved it. It was like the first music video they ever saw.
The music is a part. What all of us are trying to say is a key component, but it's not the most important thing. You don't go and make a movie, and the first thing
is the most important thing.
Who's the score? You don't say who's the score.
Editing is not the most important. It's all the components together that make a great movie. You cannot say one thing is more important than the other. Go.
Actually, there's a saying that started in theater and translates very well over into movies. If it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. You have to have a good script first. Otherwise, nothing else is going to matter.
Right. A script is what inspires the score in the first place.
Which was why, if you recall, the great Christian Bale said that the Terminator Salvation movie was supposed to be so well written that it came out like a play. He was completely wrong about that fact, but at least he had the right intention when he was going to do the movie.
Wow, yeah.
So, yeah.
The director still murdered the film. The director can murder.
I don't know, Mark and Hassan, I saw that one more
and
time.
And Charlie, because he's here.
And Charlie. Yeah.
I'm on the street corner.
Charlie left.
I saw again on Blu-ray, and that's not really a bad film. Salvation.
Terminator Salvation.
Here's the thing.
He was a terrible leader.
It wasn't that bad.
Here's the thing. Music in and of itself, to bring us back to where we were about to.
Bring us back.
Where
bring it home. Yes,
music in and of itself can have a profound effect on visuals.
Yes.
Okay. So it all has to be done correctly. Like there's for a long time in the 90s, there's this thing going around that if you play Fantasia to the Dark Side of the Moon album, it actually meshes quite well and enhances the experience.
Right.
And I've done that a couple of times where I've watched the movie and I've just listened to another soundtrack while watching the movie, and it does change the experience. So it does work.
And if you have a water pipe with you for special stuff, it works even better.
I was saying the
we
mark.
Do not condone using special.
I was saying the mark.
I'm staying off of that.
Just kidding, folks.
I didn't see Star Wars in 1977 yet. I bought the soundtrack first. The LP, the vinyl albums. They used to have records.
Yes, we know. We know the
they were like
chronology
CDs
of music
with
back then.
Yeah, with lines on them, and they were big, like platters.
Right,
and
vinyl. Move on.
And I listened to the music of Star Wars, the soundtrack. This has got to be a great film. And I didn't see the film yet.
That answers your question.
Yeah.
But
Herman, I have to say, because I've known him the longest.
Sorry.
He was very big into soundtracks. In fact, when we used to take the old Cadillac from Ozone Park to go to Long Island somewhere, we would put like Raiders of the Lost Ark. We would have this excursion movie, and he would try to hit every pothole he could, and it was like very realistic. So he has been into soundtracks for a long time.
I think soundtracks are fantastic. I'll get a soundtrack for any movie that I think is interesting. So I agree with it being a very strong part, but there's so many other things that have to be involved for make it a great movie.
That's what we're trying to say. So the soundtrack is not the end all most important thing for a movie.
No, but it's very important. I would say
I'm not talking anymore.
And when
what did we do right?
Oh, good, good. Let me get this in then. And when you have all those components meshing, it's a great movie.
It's fantastic.
People see it.
I would say that music would be like the finishing touch, the icing on the cake of a good movie. The music can enhance a really good movie. It can actually make a horrible movie decent.
Right.
It can make a decent movie horrible.
Right.
But the icing itself does not a cake make.
No. Well, but it is an extremely important part. It's not the most important part. Because like Tom said,
like
correct.
Directing.
It's the script.
Right.
Without the script, you got nothing.
Right.
All right? And like I said, a good script can survive a bad director.
Right.
A good director can't survive a bad script. So that's the most important thing. The music is if used correctly, can be extremely powerful.
Well,
there are some things that you've seen that you've liked that are because of the music and you don't even know.
Right. And that's the best kind.
Right.
It's all one big unit. It's not just something that sticks.
Can I bring up something?
No. Tom, just to give me 1 second. I just want to make this point. Tom, now we're talking about that.
There's mics between us because
don't make me come over there. Now, Tom brought up a very good point about a movie that was around in our day, Town Without Pity. Now, even though the soundtrack was terrible, it had a lasting power because the song went on. Was that, did that go to number one, or was it close?
It was up there. It was done by Herb Halpert and the Tijuana Brass, but it was there was also a version with words, I believe, sung by Bobby Vinton, but don't quote me on that.
Was it like Pitney or Gene Pitney? I don't know. I don't remember his name.
Well, it could have been.
Yeah, it was one of them. Whoever sang that song, "Town Without Pity," it was on the charts for a while.
Right, but you know, again, like I said, it made it sound like the movie was about teen angst. What it was about a rape of a German Fraulein in Germany by an American soldier who was stationed there during the occupation after the Second World War. Incidentally, just another movie that has already been mentioned, the terrible, terrible sequel to Highlander, sequel to Highlander 2. It was a perfect example of what I said about it not being on the page, not being on the stage. Because if you go back and look at it, the visuals are stunning.
Yeah.
And the action is great. But the script has more holes in it than a truckload of Swiss cheese, right? I mean, it was a horrible script. I can't say as I honestly remember if the music was any good or not.
There was no music.
Can I bring something
really
up?
Was bad.
But one more thing about
awful.
Dracula,
sure,
Bela Lugosi, Dracula.
One more thing about Dracula that we weren't mentioning at all.
No, Dracula, Bela Lugosi, all these actors were silent actors, and now they just invented sound for film.
When you watch the actors invented sound?
No. Actors and actors are now going to do a sound film.
Right.
And it's very stocky, you know. And there was no music in the film.
Okay.
And they were very stagey. So what they did there, when they re-released it in the movies in the 40s, they put a violin track to Dracula. And it went over great because if you watch that film, the original cut of Dracula, it's silent. I mean, it's no music. It's just they're walking around the living room and they're just talking.
Yeah,
like
that white noise, though, in the background, crisp
that
pop, crackle.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that
but
stuff is awesome.
But they say this needs something.
Just a little trivia about about the Bela Lugosi Dracula. Back in the days when they first made it, for some reason, they couldn't dub. They couldn't dub sound on top of an already existing track. So that meant if they wanted to release a film in more than one market, they had to literally reshoot it twice. And when they were shooting Dracula, they also wanted to be release it in the Spanish-speaking countries. And and so what they did was they had literally two casts and two crews, and they used the same sets. So Bela Lugosi and the English-speaking cast were done shooting a scene. They just really whip off the set, and then the Spanish language cast and crew would come in and shoot the same scene.
And they said it was better.
Yes, they said that actually the Spanish language version was a better movie.
It had music.
It's a scarier film. It's a creepier film.
So it's like holy tree, holy. There's a vampire over there.
Oh,
I like that. There's a speaking of sound as we're mulling on along.
Speaking of sound.
you can actually on this a number of TV shows that where the theme song is way more
energetic.
Energetic. Recognize. Sometimes the one that comes to my head just off top is. The show The Heights. There was a show called The Heights. It was about a rock band. It was on Fox many years ago in the 90s. And in the show, they were about making a song. They were making a song called How Do You Talk to an Angel?
How Do You Talk to an Angel?
And everybody remembers this song, but no one remembers the show.
Wow.
So
the show was bad. That's why.
But there's a lot of shows out there that you may not remember the show, but you can sure remember the soundtrack,
right.
The theme song.
Right.
But I think that...
Everything I Do For You from
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, yes. So
there's
I bet you could rattle off a whole bunch of songs and everyone would know
what
movie
they're
from.
Greatest
American
Hero.
Exactly. That's another one. So, but the question I'm going to bring to you guys now is that what about existing music, somebody's soundtrack, like a song versus an orchestrated score? What do you guys feel about that?
I like an orchestrated score. Oh, well, when it comes to as a consumer, what I'm going to buy, I'd buy an orchestrated score before I bought a musical score, because most of the songs I'll either have already, I won't like, because a lot of them are contemporary and I don't like a lot of contemporary pop music, or I could get someplace else, you know. I would be able to get on another album.
Right.
So,
well,
so,
Mark, you brought,
you said you
brought
soundtracks,
but you brought something up a lot of shows back. You said you don't like when they play pop music in movies.
Right. I really don't.
So there's you're answering your own question. Like,
I'm asking everybody else.
Yeah,
I know my answer.
That. Yeah. Well, Tron was a good score, a synthesized. You know, there's some movies that had that call for synthesized.
But
Terminator was a good score. Had that drone, dun, 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 you know. That's a driving. That's a synth.
Actually, Terminator 2 had the "You Could Be Mine" from the Guns N' Roses.
Yeah,
Roses.
But there's some scores like recently, like you watch a Christopher Nolan movie or some of these other movies. They're like they have these droning scores that if you bought them, it's like the same song
right.
for about an hour and a half. So I mean,
he's
like
right.
the days of like John Williams and John Barry or James Horner or Alan Silvestri or whatever, those days are gone where they used to actually write original music and have actual like recognizable
right.
Tunes.
And there's another guy,
you know,
Pino something, Italian guy. He did Carrie, the score of Carrie, and Dress
right.
the Kill.
That would
right.
be Pino Gigio.
Is it? I don't know his last name.
So what do you think, Charlie, about your...
Go ahead, Tom wants to...
Tom needs...
Oh,
maybe.
Tom has to, yeah.
I think it. I personally think it depends on the type of film. For example, a film set in the 50s or the 40s or the 30s probably would do better using period music and songs from that period just to give it the authentic flavor.
Right.
A good example of that would be Brother Wherefore Art Thou,
yeah.
which took place in the 30s at the height of the Depression. And one of the great things about it was it's absolutely dead authentic rural southern
soundtrack,
country right. Soundtrack. On the other hand, you get something like science fiction. Well, even in science fiction, Stanley Kubrick made a very deliberate decision. He wanted classical music
right.
to be behind his visuals for various reasons of his own. For one thing, I think he wanted to help give his audience a bit of a grounding. On the other hand, you take that other classic of science fiction, Forbidden Planet, where the synthesized score was also the sound effects and so forth. You know, it depends. You know, it's horses for courses. It depends on what kind of a movie, where it's going to be set, what kind of a feeling you want to have. There have also been many great movies that have mixed both, had both period songs or contemporary songs and written just for the movie songs. Meet Me in St. Louis
right.
was like that. There was really only two songs written for that movie, but there was quite a number of authentic
A-90s
pieces
good,
for
The Good,
it.
The Bad, and the Ugly. What do you think of right away when I say that title? The score.
Absolutely.
No, no, no. See, it's strong.
So many acrobat, yeah, so many yeah. gymnastic routines have been done to that one.
yeah.
So, what do you think about that, Charlie?
Oh, I have a plethora of ideas, and one of them is I like.
You shut the air conditioner off. I'm done. Like in Logan's Run, and they froze those people.
Carry on there, Charlie.
I forgot what I was going to say.
There is no sanctuary.
Well.
My birds, my birds,
my birds.
Now, I was going to say, I love listening to scores rather than the hit songs from the movies, because you can always hear them.
Yeah, scores are better.
Scores are better because they're like the thing you could sit down and really take apart in a movie. You could, you know, the song's the song.
With a score, you get to dissect a scene
right.
by scene.
Exactly.
If you're intimate enough
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. And especially if you buy the album and you're just listening to the score without, whoa, I didn't hear that before. But a couple of exceptions for that for me is Quadrophenia and Tommy. Where the
okay.
score
was
and
the
songs were the actual...
Right. Yeah. Well, those are different. Like, concept albums
rock
are
right.
completely...
Right. Flash Gordon?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, Queen.
You gotta mention Flash Gordon.
And the most important, the Bonds, the James Bonds. We all want to watch that main title theme when you watch the movie.
Not really.
Well, that's a good example of something that has both in it. It has the pop song in the beginning, whatever the title song is, and then it has the score, the James Bond score.
But if you get the soundtracks to any James Bond album, that one Bond theme will be played in a plethora again of different ways. Yeah.
One guy that should quit the business is Danny Elfman.
Okay.
I never liked Danny.
No, he's king of the drums.
Oh, the Batman movie, Spider-Man. That's all right. I guess he sucks.
We got 2 minutes. Let me just say, favorite movie with a soundtrack.
Favorite movie with a soundtrack.
No, I mean, like, what's the most memorable? I would go with Flash Gordon just myself. That's the one that hits me on top of my head.
Oh,
what? Anything?
Transformers movie.
I would agree with that one too. What about you, Herman?
It's Creature from the Black Lagoon. A lot of trumpets.
Charlie, have a...
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that was good. We have a peanut gallery says Power Rangers. Thank you.
Power Rangers?
It had a ghost.
No more people in the studio.
So if anybody missed any part of this show, you can go online to our website.
I don't know why you would.
MFC-studios.com and listen to us there. It should be up within the week. You can always go to podcast places such as Podcast Planet.
I forgot Jerry Goldsmith.
Or iTunes.
Yes, or iTunes. Thank you. And wow.
I'll be in London next week.
Oh, there you go. Herman, I did it again.
You're going to London, Tom?
I'll be in London because Rula Lenska still didn't call me.
There you go. See? So that does it for this week, and we will see you next time.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.